I'm with Rod Hackney at the RIBA at the launch of the reprint of his excellent 1990 book, Good, the Bad and the Ugly, which records his work in community architecture, which really launched that movement back in the 70s and 80s. And I'm here with Rod and his partner, Tia Kansara. But can you give us a bit of recollection from those days? What was it actually like back in, was it 1977,
8, 9? Well, 70s, we had the huge recession in the beginning. We had the three-day week. Mr. Edward Heath lost control. The miners were rampant. And when we did our first scheme, our power was out. And the whole country had to close down for basically 4 days a week. 3 days there was power for factories. So the first schemes began in a recession. Most of our success has begun during recessions. The 80s, because of various attempts to... most people thought I was too big for my boots, and therefore I was reported on a number of occasions for malpractice, not charging fees when I should have done, living in a scheme, therefore creating work for myself. Right. Black Road, I was supposed to do a PhD, but stopped it to do the job, and so on and so on. The only way to survive was to get in the system like the RIBA, become the president, change the rules through democratic system. So I became a politician in the architectural world. I also became president of the East Union of Architects. And for my Welsh roots, although I was born in Liverpool, repatriated to Wales during the war, I became president of the Snowdonia National Park Society and introduced the Welsh language to the debate. You know, we are in Wales. So I've always been told that I'm a ferret. I just won't let go. And it's just one of those funny things. I love a challenge. Give me a challenge, and I'll stay up all night to solve it.
And Tia, what's it been like learning something of the history of Rod's work and maybe gaining some inspiration from it?
I'm definitely inspired. Rod's one of my mentors. And for the last 6 years, we've been working together really closely, and at every stage of every year, I come across something completely new of community architecture and something that becomes even more relevant today, or as we name it today, sustainable architecture or sustainable development. I suppose they're all just words and how they evolve and how now perhaps we could be talking about crowd build or, you know, getting communities and public engagement within those communities for citizens to play an active role where they feel that they are accountable for the place that they live in, that they have some ownership in the place that they're living in. And I think that is time immemorial.
And Rod, looking at the landscape today, what are you seeing?
Well, it's good. You know, we don't have to fight the corner anymore. People say, what happened to community architecture? It's all around. As you heard in the speeches tonight, it's gone viral around the world. Tia wrote an article about it last year. Community architecture goes viral. We had two major speakers tonight saying it's gone viral. Chris from Stoke-on-Trent and Nick Waits from Brighton. So it's now part of the diet of architecture and sustainability. If you don't commit the community to your scheme, it'll never be built. You've got to have the community on your side. Therefore, it's more sympathetic. Better architecture. Better housing.
So is there anything still to do?
Plenty. The rest of the world. You know, we've solved our slum problems. So has North America. But in Africa, South America, and Asia, they've still got... There's 2 billion people living in slums in the 2030 forecast by the UN. It's 1.3 at the moment. Now, there's not many in Britain. But that's because of the work that community architects did in the 70s and 80s. But South America, ripe for it, in the favelas, the townships of Africa, and the slums of the huge Asian cities, Kolkata, Mumbai, China, Philippines, Indonesia. Right? The slums are so big, right? The cities in South America called Sao Paulo. It's basically a slum, but it's the same size as Tokyo. And Tokyo works. Fantastic transportation system. So it isn't the scale that makes a city unworkable. It's how he puts the administration together. So community architecture has a huge role to play in satisfying the UN drive to reduce the world's slum population.